You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And we all welcome, all of you back. So have you heard the news about Jim Harbaugh? A lot of news from the Big Ten between Northwestern and Harbaugh. Harbaugh, according to Pete Thamel, could be suspended for 4 games. Now, we're not talking about blockbuster games here. But we are still talking about a recruiting situation which has gone on forever. Meanwhile, Northwestern in the news, as it has been for weeks, the players will not speak tomorrow at Media Days. John Bacon, the best-selling author, once taught at Northwestern. He's very connected to Michigan. John, let's start with Michigan because this will be a shorter of the two subjects. Thanks for so much for being here. I mean, you're the Harbaughologist, so can explain to us why this thing is about to be determined this way and the fact that Jim Harbaugh probably could have settled this a long time ago. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Always a pleasure from the Radisson in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So I'm living large over here, Paul. But the 4 violations are all level 2, as they say, basically misdemeanors. Things like recruiting during the blackout period, during COVID, an analyst on the field coaching when you're not supposed to, buying a hamburger, cheeseburger, I believe, for a recruit at the local Brown Jug restaurant, a legendary spot. And all those are chump change, obviously, except the sticking point, according to Dan Wetzel, a friend of mine at Yahoo, is that the NCAA says that Jim Harbaugh lied about those initially when they asked him. He says he didn't. He said, she said, et cetera. So this thing's been dragging out, as you know, for months, if not longer. And finally, basically settled, if you will. Looks like a 4-game suspension for Jim, maybe 1 each for 2 assistant coaches. And as you say, you're going to sit out for, I think, Eastern Carolina. In fact, I know. Eastern Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green State University in Ohio and not Kentucky. And Rutgers is the one Big Ten game. So as you said, not exactly a murderer's row.
Had he decided whenever he could have decided, this would have been over, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I think the NCAA, who's more stubborn in this case, Jim Harbaugh or the NCAA? Pretty good question. NCAA was given a victory. Michigan conceded all the points they raised. And they could have taken that victory in itself, which these days are hard to come by, but for the NCAA. But the sticking point was the question, did he lie or not? And that always is a red flag for the NCAA, obviously. So that was the hinge point there. And actually, Paul, a factor in Jim's decision to look at Minnesota Vikings in the offseason because Michigan was not going to renew his contract. He still has not until this is settled. So that was an issue there as well. So it almost had big ramifications.
Help me with this, Sean. I'm a big Jim Harbaugh supporter. I always want to have all the facts. So. Should I think that Harbaugh was right in all this?
Depends on how you want to slice that one, I guess. I mean, if he did lie about it, that's never a smart thing to do, of course, and that can always get you in bigger trouble than you were in. This might be one of those cases where that was a one-day story into a two-day story. The flip side is, and this is where I might be sympathetic to Jim, is that if we're arguing about a cheeseburger, for crying out loud, I mean, did you jaywalk or not jaywalk? Yeah. I say I did, you say I did. Are we going to go to federal court for this? I mean, that's where you are. And the NCAA in the same week, of course, handed down a $9 million fine for Tennessee, which is obviously serious money, but not one game violation, one game ban for some 200 violations. So at some point you have to ask why the NCAA even exists when the SEC commissioner and the Big Ten commissioner clearly have more power.
I've thought about this. I wanted to get your opinion before I offered a ruling. I think Jim Harbaugh should be fired over this. Let's move on to to Northwestern.
All that strikes me as fair and reasonable. Let's continue.
I just want to be fair. You have an association with this school. You taught there. You have a pretty good understanding of it. You've written. Didn't you do a book on in connection
with Northwestern? Yeah, I wrote Fourth and Long, The Fight for the Soul of College, college football. It came out in 2013. I spent the 2012 season basically embedded with Penn State, Ohio State, and Northwestern during that season, and got to know Morton Shapiro, the president of Northwestern at the time, still in touch with him, Jim Phillips, now the ACC commissioner, of course, and Pat Fitzgerald, and came away, as almost everyone does, with immense respect for how they were doing, what they were doing, being competitive while still doing it the Northwestern way. But that, of course, took a bad hit last week.
Yeah, I've interacted with Fitzgerald. I know Phillips very well, and I mean this is where you look. I mean, this is one of the beacons of respect in the sport, in a sport filled with Jeremy Pruitts and people like that. What happened?
Great question. It's coming up bit by bit, obviously, but it seems to be calling it hazing is not fair. And again, I'm a huge Pat Fitzgerald backer. I like him personally. I respect him professionally, but you cannot spin this. 11 players, not one or two, have come out talking about very specific details of what hazing, again, does not do it justice. It basically comes across as sexual assault, frankly, and abuse. One of the examples is a freshman would soap himself up during training camp in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and have to go through the car wash, if you will, of naked linemen, also soaped up, which is weird on top of everything else, but whatever. But this went on for years, obviously. And the question is, does Pat Fitzgerald not know about it, and he should have, or he did know about it, and he gave it tacit approval, or he's actually part of the problem and would identify freshmen for the car wash and other treatments like that. So some players are saying the latter. Many other players are defending him. Hundreds, in fact, have sent letters to that effect. But he's out of a job, and that's final. Furthermore, it's worth adding, for a long time there, with Shapiro as president, Jim Phillips as AD, and Pat Fitzgerald as football coach, you had a vertical monopoly, if you will, of trying to succeed at football, which Northwestern has not had before, and I doubt they'll ever have that again.
Yeah, and it brings us to the current president, who...
I'm with you already, Paul.
I give this guy credit. I mean, he basically said, I didn't read it. I'm speaking loosely here, but...
That's not it, though.
I mean, explain the behavior of a president who kept Fitzgerald and essentially was forced into firing him, was he not?
Forced into firing him by the Daily Northwestern, the student newspaper. And my 6 summers teaching at the Medill School of Journalism there, which is number 2 in the country behind Columbia. These are not my students. I taught from 08 to 2014. I looked it up. They're great students. They're the ones who embarrassed him after he came out with a Friday data dump, a news dump. They embarrassed him by interviewing the students in question, the players in question, and giving the report that I just gave you. That's from them, not from me. So kudos to them for the great news story. And this guy then has to backpedal and dance and so on. And look, that's the classic Don Canham, former Michigan athletic director line, never turn a one-day story into a two-day story. Well, this is another case where they did exactly that. So no points for the current president, Michael Schill.
No, Schill's a good name for what he's going to be doing the rest of his life trying to get out of this. So you said something, I don't mean to bury the lead. I'm no longer a newspaper reporter, but I heard it. I mean, you essentially said that this program may not recover from all this.
I really don't. I mean, they're going to play Big Ten football. They're going to be in the league and all that. And the West is still pretty soft compared to the East in the Big Ten. But is already going downhill. Look, I mean, why they didn't also let go of the assistant coaches is a mystery to me. If Pat Fitzgerald is toxic, I don't know how the assistant coaches aren't toxic. They must have known about it also or allowed it to happen. And what are you trying to protect? A 1-11 team from last season? So it was already going downhill. New AD, new president, and now you're going to have a new football coach. So I think we're going to look back, Paul, I'm only guessing here, at that 95 to 2020 or so was a glorious period, really an exception in Northwestern football history, and it will be very hard to recapture that.
No, I mean, my first year at ESPN, and you may remember this, I was part of College Game Day. It was a college game day live from Evanston on that campus. Ohio State was playing a big Saturday night game. A lot of people thought they almost, and Northwestern almost won the game. And to think about that. Final question on Phillips. He's now the ACC commissioner. He's been there a little over a year, and a lot of heat on him already about the direction of that school. How does he wiggle out of this?
Great question. It depends. I mean, this apparently has been going on for years, according to the 11 players in question. I think more is going to come out, not less, as often happens in this case. I like Jim a lot. I think he did a hell of a job at Northwestern on a lot of levels. But at some point, he'll have to either say he didn't know, or that's my most likely scenario, he didn't know. But I'll tell you, flip side on Jim Phillips, he is getting a lot of heat in the ACC. The job of NCAA president seems to have been vacant for about 10 years, so he might want to do that job.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's been proven. And by the way, I was sitting there a couple weeks ago, and Charlie Baker, the new president, former governor, he came out and said, the problem with NIL is the NCAA hasn't done anything about it. I'm like, going, you're the president of it. But
you know anybody?
Typical politician blaming the previous guy. Hey, I don't know what you're doing at this Radisson, but they have, I'm assuming they have a microwave in the room and everything else, right?
Well, I even got a restaurant, Paul. I'm actually here to speak on my previous book, Let Them Lead, about my high school hockey team that I coached from worst to first in 3 years, despite being, Paul, the worst player in school history. And I can prove that.
Always doing a book. John Eubank, and thank you, John. This is fabulous. I really appreciate your insight into Northwestern and Jim Harbaugh. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and Danny is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon, Danny.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
Oh, this just hits so close to home. And what I want to say is, first, to Mr. Gold, I'm so happy that he has made it through. And
Danny, hold the thought right there for 1 second. For those who are maybe just joining us, we talked today for the first time in a long time with Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide. He told us about his journey this past year and a half. He spent more than 240 days in a hospital searching for a diagnosis, and finally his physicians in Birmingham detected cancer. He went through 21 weeks of chemotherapy, and he is going to be back in the booth for Alabama's opening game. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to make sure the audience understood it.
I am a University of Georgia alumnus, and I love my dogs, but when Mr. Gold left the booth, I pretty much knew what was happening. I don't know how I knew, but I knew. But my wife went through a very similar circumstance, and it was very hard on her. She was in bed for a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Just a year. And but Mr. Gold fought through it, and the fact that his family and his loved ones helped him through, and I'm just really happy to have Mr. Gold back in the Alabama booth. And like I said, I'm a Georgia grad. I hope Georgia beats the brakes off of Alabama, but I am really happy to have Mr. Gold back in the booth. Thank you, Paul.
Well, Danny, thank you, and all the best to you and your family. And I appreciate your poignancy in sharing that story. And I think that's what I think we all took. I mean, I dare say there's not a person out there, including me, who hasn't been touched very personally by cancer. And it's just, it was heart-wrenching to hear him tell the story, especially the journey to find out what was wrong. There was a misdiagnosis. Finally, they began centering in on the problem, and from that moment on, he was treated. Thank you very, very much for your call. Nick is up next in Georgia. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
It's been
a while
since
I talked to you.
Thank you.
Hey, hey, man. I just want to say to Mr. Gold, that's awesome. I'm thrilled with it. But I'm gonna tell you something. You got a lot of these Alabama folks thinks that Alabama's back. If anybody's back, it's the Tennessee Volunteers, baby. Joe Milton's gonna take them to the promised land. And that guy Larry is a clown. That was what'd he say? Bald, big eared, Paul. That's just crazy. That's just no class. So I hope he calls back in and says something, because then I'm going to go right back at him. All I got to say is, go Big Orange, baby. Paul, it's been a pleasure watching your show, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for everything. And I think we're either going to be 10-2 or 12-0. That the floor or the ceiling. That's both ways. And I think we're going to smash Alabama once again. But again, Mr. Gold, right on, man. I'm glad that you made it through, buddy. That's awesome. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate
it, man.
Thank you,
Nick. You be well. Sean is up next in Italy. Hello, Sean.
Hi, Paul. Usually I call you from Germany, but I'm in Italy on vacation.
We had a call earlier from Spain. Now Italy. So where are you in Italy?
I'm in northern Italy in the Alps, in Bressanone.
Oh, my.
that might not say anything.
I know nothing about northern Italy other than I love the food.
It is absolutely spectacular, and so is the weather. That's why I come here. I wanted to say two comments and then two quick questions. First, I last time I called you last month, Greg Sankey tweeted about my call.
Oh, I do remember
that. I thought
that was
pretty cool. He said, SEC is worldwide, when I tweeted from... He tweeted from my call from Germany. Also, I really wanted to thank you for taking Eli Goat's call. I thought that was really awesome. You gave him a lot of leeway to tell his story. And you know, there's not an Alabama game that's a real Alabama game unless you hear Eli Goat's call. And even if you see it on TV and he's not calling it, you want to see the replay with his
oh, yeah.
call. And that's what
they usually
do
that
Alabama
on CBS at the very end of the game, where they'll have the big call of the game, and they'll go to Eli's call, and it's always amazing.
Exactly. So, and another thing, the guy who called from Spain, my fellow Alabama alum, mentioned that there was a Notre Dame game in Dublin against Navy. And I wondered, how can we convince Greg Sankey to get an SEC game in Europe?
Because, yeah, that, I think that Europe game, wasn't that game supposed to be in 20 during COVID, and it was put back? I don't know. I remember many years ago, and I'm talking about the beginning of my career, there was talk of Alabama playing a game in Japan, and I was so excited by that. But the problem is it's not – you couldn't do that. I mean, to go to that part of the world, it takes too long. But you could easily do it in London, Spain, Germany. I mean, these are not places that are hard to get to, as you well know.
Well, the NFL was in Munich last year, and they had a great time. And yeah. Everybody sang Country Roads even after the game was over. And everybody said the atmosphere was fantastic.
Okay, so, Sean, where should, if I could make this happen, where would be the best place in Europe to play an Alabama football game?
Munich or Berlin.
Okay. I'm reading a book right now that involves Berlin, so I'm intrigued by that thought. What's Atlanta to Berlin? Is that a 10-hour flight? More than that?
8 hours.
8 hours. Okay.
8 hours direct. So my last question.
I have spent more than 8 hours trying to get back from Starkville.
I believe you. But my last question, I called last month about the Tennessee UVA spread. It's still at minus 28 points for Tennessee at that first game of the year in Nashville. Is that still reasonable?
Yeah. And by the way, we are proud to say that we are going to be there for that game Friday afternoon. And so that game looks like a mismatch badly. I think that's a legitimate spread.
All right. Thanks a lot. And maybe I'll see you there.
I hope so. We'll be there. Sean, thank you. We are going to take a short break. Well, that's probably not exactly true, but the normal break is straight ahead. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back, and we head to the Big Easy. Augie is up next.
You sounded like you were going to put us before the Easy, Paul. You sounded like you were going to say something disparaging to my city.
No, never. Especially on a hot July night.
They're all hot down here, Paul. I don't know what people are talking about. It's so hot. It's always hot down here. So, you know, while the rest of the country is enjoying South Louisiana weather, I'm glad we could share it with them. But, Paul, you were talking about games overseas. I was at the 96 Navy-Notre Dame game in Dublin.
Oh, I didn't realize they played. Wow.
Yeah, in 96. It was kind of a blowout, of course, Notre Dame beat them. I think Holtz was coaching. But do you know who the Irish people favored in that game? I mean, they don't really know college football that well, but you know which team they were pulling for over the other?
I have no idea.
Navy. They were Navy fans.
That's funny.
I think it was, they were saying that the JFK, before it was mothballed, made a port call, and people just flocked to it, and You know, the Irish Americans have always had a strong military history. So a lot of Irish folks who have relatives in the U.S. have more connection to the U.S. military than they do to the University of Notre Dame. And the other thing that upset them was, you know, Notre Dame has like, what, six drum majors, and they wear those plaid tartans, those kilts. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, no, I'm vaguely familiar with Ireland.
So the Irish were all in an uproar because Notre Dame calls themselves the Fighting Irish, yet they said the Notre Dame drum majors were wearing Irish quilts or pattern quilts. So I don't know the difference between Irish and Scottish tartans, but obviously they did. But it was a pretty interesting game. I mean, the fans in the stands, they didn't really know what to react to too well. I think they were just there because it was an event. And it wasn't a soccer crowd, I can tell you that. They were well-behaved. So I suggest that if Alabama's going to play overseas, why don't they go – didn't they pick up a kid from Finland?
I believe they did, yes.
Go to Finland. But, Paul, with there's been a lot of changes at ESPN lately. Has there been any talk about changes to midday programming?
In on ESPN proper?
As far as the SEC network goes.
The SEC network,
safe, right?
I haven't heard anything in relation to that. No.
Well, you just see these things happening with people being let go, Pollock being let go from game day. I always thought he was a good analyst, and I think that's going to be a loss for game day. And I don't know why they're making all these changes. They say it's financial, but I didn't know ESPN was hurting. I thought ESPN was doing great.
Well, I'm not trying to sound like I work at Goldman Sachs, Augie, but ESPN is part of a bigger picture. And I think that's where you have to direct your investigative skills. It's a big company, but it's also a part of an even bigger company.
All right. Well, make sure they stay away from this time slot because, as you say.
Well, I think the good. I could be proved wrong on this, but I think the good part about us. I don't think they know we have a show on, so we're in good shape.
They're probably thinking nobody watches TV in the.
This is the perfect time to be anonymous at a big company. And you know, if you walk down the hallway right now at ESPN, they probably have pardon the interruption and WNBA games, and they probably figured, what's this show? What's the show with the bald guy? What's all that about?
Hey, well, tell him to stay away. And, oh, by the way, the MyPillow guy's going out of business, I heard.
I have not heard that news. Oh, my goodness. I was just
Yeah, supposedly he's selling all his manufacturing equipment. So
he's done such good work.
He's giving away his stuff now. He's giving you money to take the stuff off his hands. But anyway, I guess gone are the times. Thanks, Paul.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it, Augie. We go from, we've had a call from Italy, a call from Spain, and AC, where are you calling from?
Bangladesh. How are you feeling, Mr. Fine Bob?
I feel like I'm I'm running a program from UN Plaza in New York. I mean, man, we're getting it all today.
Well, you tell your boy Greg thank you to tweet that. Thank you, boy. Fine Bob. Let me talk about two things. First of all, I know Tyler Hicks, he's your promo. How about this? At the end, he could put my voice in there. Mr. Feinbaum, I love you. Don't give you that spirit. Even if I don't call in, it's going to give you that positive spirit, knowing all the losers, they may not love you, but he's going to love you. So you can put it in there, Mr. Taylor Hicks, Tyler Hicks, wherever you are. And number two, did I hear correctly, Joe in Red Bay and Drunk Larry, they just quit the show. Did I get this correct? Or am
well,
I
a bunch
wrong?
Of people have. I mean, we have not heard since we are back from Nashville. We haven't heard from Legend. We haven't heard from Joe from Red Bait. Sadly, we heard from Larry today. That was we haven't heard. Who else haven't we heard from? Jim from Tuscaloosa quit the show. Man, I mean, we're...
This is why I love you, cheerleaders. This is why I love you. He's going to quit again. I mean, Legend, I'll give him a break. He wants to become a chef. I get it. But all the losers who just quit, they just shown you a preview when Alabama Crimson Tide, when they're going to quit. It's a perfect preview. You just got it in July. And Jim knows the pressure is cooking because I just put a $100 gift card for someone to win on $150 for Iman. But I forgot to tell you, Mr. Feinbaum, even your cheerleaders are qualified to win if they want to. Hey, I'm a nice guy, man. But Mr. Feinbaum, you and I, we're not qualified. Because let's face it, you and I, we could just score it right away. Because you are a smart dude. AC's a smart dude. This gym, we are running the show. You're the past. We are present. We're future. But Mr. Feinbaum, you did not let me finish last night. Oh, I freaking love you.
I regret that we let him finish tonight. Cooper in Knoxville is up next. Hey, Cooper.
What's up, buddy?
We're doing well.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So these overseas callers, you know, it would be really cool. So I've got two comments and then just one question about Tennessee scheduling. But I think it would be really cool if Jason Bourne played for either Tennessee or Alabama.
Oh,
overseas.
Wow. So you're talking about the guy from the movie?
Matt Damon, man.
Yeah.
Matt Damon, Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Oh, if Tennessee, and he'd be on Tennessee, trust me. And that way, all these guys that are from Alabama that aren't calling anymore because they know that if Saban loses, if we go down there and beat them, I'm jumping to my question, then he would probably be on the hot seat, I think, at that point. Considering also we beat them last year and LSU at LSU, both teams who were ahead of us with the same record at the end of the year, that makes as much sense as the NIL. But my question about the scheduling with Tennessee, do you think Saban would be on the hot seat as number one if we went down there and beat him 2 years in a row? Number two,
Hey Cooper, Georgia, I have to stop you for just 1 second, because if I don't, I'll...
Go for it, brother.
The idea that Nick Saban would be on the hot seat is truly one of the funniest things I've ever heard. You are being serious. Are you being serious?
Well, I'm saying the hot seat at Alabama because the reason is his age, and I'm not sure what his contract agreement is. You know, so I'm not.
Nick Saban is coach for life, Cooper. He coaches as long as he wants to coach.
I get you all.
Mortal people like the rest of us, where somebody walks in tomorrow and says, by the way, thank you for your service. You're out of here. Nick Saban does what he wants to do. We'll take a break. By the way, saw a legendary college football star has passed away. Johnny Lujack. Remember that name? Most of us don't, by the way, because he played in the 40s at Notre Dame, won the Heisman Trophy. He played on 3 national championship teams, one of the great Notre Dame players of all time. The quarterback has passed away at the age of 98. We take a short break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back, and Steve-O is up next from St. Simons.
Hey, Feinbaum, what's kicking, chicken?
We're doing great.
Awesome. Hey, I got two hot takes. One is the whole Alabama thing this year. Leary is already way too deep into the Bud Light, because I'm telling you right now, if Alabama trots out Buckner against Texas, Mike Bratton is 100% correct. They go in four losses. They finishing behind LSU, A&M, and Ole Miss in the West. It's just a fact. And then all the Bammers are in callback that this was a rebuilding year and next year is going to be the year because recruiting, blah, 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 blah. All right. My second point is this. I was listening on a Birmingham show this morning. You know which one I was listening to. And they were talking about a beef between you and Mike Griffith last week in the lobby. Can you explain what's going on with that?
Well, he started mouthing off about Saban. And I decked him.
I would have loved to see that.
I finally said, Mike, not another word. And he kept, I said, that's it. Just an uppercut to his jaw. And he was laid out. They were about to call the paramedics. But he came back.
Well, his side of the story is that y'all were arguing about Alabama turf. And he called you a carpetbagger from Memphis, and that he's the only true person from Alabama that is actually from Alabama. That was his side.
Well, that may have been before the Saban conversation, but he is from Alabama, I think. So
he is, yeah, he's from Mobile or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I am not from Alabama.
He called you a carpetbagger. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but yeah, he called you a carpetbagger.
That's just I demand an apology.
But, hey, you need to have him back on. And I also want you to get McElroy on your show. I actually like his take, even though he was so-so, probably Alabama hardly claims him. They claim him as a game manager. But I actually like his take. I actually think he has some good takes.
McElroy was a better quarterback than you give him credit for.
The Alabama people claim it was the defense and that he was just a game manager. But
he won the Auburn game, which enabled them to stay alive for the national championship with a very adept pass with seconds remaining.
No, and he did, and he actually played in the NFL, which very few people do. So I'll give him credit.
No, I mean Greg was a good player. I mean he wasn't elite, but he was plenty good.
Yeah, he was, and I like your show in the morning, and I like when you're on there with him. It's fun, and I just wish that maybe he could reciprocate and either have him or Coops on your show. I think it'd be fun.
We had Greg on last week. We usually have him on during the season, so that will not be hard to arrange. JB is in Augusta, Georgia. Hello, JB.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, and I can't wait for the fall. How about y'all? I'm sorry, I've been trying to make a rhyme with that for 2.5 years, so I just went with it.
There are a number of words that Paul does rhyme with.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I could go on for about 6 or 7 more. But anyways, I'm a 45-year Georgia fan, and, you know, I just wanted to say we're so fortunate. According to the Bama fans, you know, we're so lucky to be back-to-back national champions. And thank goodness the people got hurt, and, you know, the Tennessee got lucky to beat them, and LSU and all that. And I'm just so pumped about this season, and I can't wait to see what happens. The other thing I wanted to bring up, Larry is so angry. Most people, I don't know if he had a near-death experience, or I know he had health problems. He struggled. But most people who go through something like that come back kinder and nicer with some appreciation, with some perspective. And Larry just seems to get more and more angry. I don't understand it. It's funny. It's amusing.
Well,
but
you have to understand, JB, his manhood is determined by what Alabama did the previous season.
This is true. The other thing is, I just think it's funny. I mean, I like him. I really do. I know he's a former cop. I've got some best friends that are policemen and all that. But anyway, I just had to say that. And the other thing is, when he goes on his rants, he needs to try to use a period once in a while, not just a bunch of commas. But anyway, last comment. This is a serious problem. From going from 8 games to 9, potentially. Look, nobody wants to see those games against those lower-tier teams. But we all know that those lower-tier teams depend on those paydays, okay? What happens to them if those games go away? And look, again, nobody wants to go see Georgia play whoever, you know, or Alabama play Mercer. But those programs depend
Everybody plays four of those, and, you know, most don't play more than one good game. It's interesting. South Carolina has two this year. They have North Carolina and Clemson, and that happens sometimes.
I think Florida does too.
Has Utah and Florida State, but most of the time, the other three are terrible games. Not
exactly.
Always. I mean, but so.
But what
I,
about
I mean,
those programs? Is my
well,
question.
No, you're right. I mean, those programs depend on it.
That's my big question. I don't know if that's – I just want to hear somebody address that. I know it's not the big school's responsibility to worry about the smaller schools, but, you know, if I have a – I might have a kid that wants to play, you know, smaller school ball. I mean, what happens to those budgets?
Well, what I like to see, JB, are within the state to see like a Grambling game for LSU or Troy or – somebody else for Alabama or Auburn, but some of the games though just don't make any sense. And I appreciate a state school helping a fellow state school, but I don't think Alabama owes a school halfway across the country anything. And too often those games just are simply worthless, especially to put on a major network window when, quite frankly, there's no interest in it. Quick break, more to come, another hour to go. We'll talk to Ari Wasserman in the final hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.